I feel like I'm at home when I come here. This trip has had a lot of dangers on it. There were some Ugandans that wanted to keep me out of certain areas because threats that were on my life. And I said, no, I'm going to go. We also talked to them about going and finding the lost sheep, for they've had people that would be baptized and then they wouldn't show up. And they would take the attitude at first of they know where we are. But I've shared with them the fact, and even today I got a message from one of the elders that said, I've just finished church and now I'm heading out to see who's not here. He's following up. There was a song that was played on the car taxi every day I was in Uganda. And it became my theme song. You all know that song. I hope. We're going to sing it anyway. 480. Called Blessed Assurance. It's an old song. And as I kept hearing the words and singing it and saying, this is my story, I thought, yes, the walk that God puts me through, that Christ leads me through, that the Holy Spirit guides me through, is my story. Let's sing just the first verse. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. That passage, that song, it talks also about perfect submission. All is at rest. That you can be happy in the Lord when you've taken and done what He says. Today we're starting, the very first picture was with a little girl I've told you over and over about, little Winnie, when she was 4. She's the one that got me to come back. It wasn't just the work that got me, but those little brown eyes. And every year after that, she has invited me back for different things and checked to see when I'd be back to make sure she was there. And this year was no different, except that she could speak some English. And she spoke to me and invited me to her school. And I asked her how many students would there be, and she said about 300. So I thought maybe she was overestimating, but you'll see in the picture she wasn't. And what I learned about her and her sister was that as happy as they were living with their grandmother because their father had but abandoned them. He wasn't paying anything for their education. He just dropped them off and went on to his life. Her sister's that same way. And as I went to their school, and I didn't get the message until I was sitting in the office of that accountant for that school. And I learned that they were behind last year. They didn't pay anything. And this year they were behind, hadn't paid anything, and they were about to be kicked out of school. And I said, this will not be. And so I asked, how much was it? And we paid them up through next October. A little servant that has been out about her father's business is not even a Christian, but opens one door after another after another. Happy as could be, not realizing she was about to run out of education. She needed to be rewarded. We see situations like that every day in Uganda. The next picture I show you is in an area where they don't see white men. They also don't see hair on the arm. And the kids finally came to me and then got brave enough to touch my arm. And when one did, the next one did, and the next one, the next one. And they just, and I had to take a picture of that. And right after I took the picture, they then went to my beard and went to my hair on the head. And afterwards, we gave them what they call sweets. This year, I went 30 pounds of candy and ran out. They love Jolly Ranchers. And next year, I'm going to take Smarties because you can carry more for less weight. This is the first congregation in Uganda that I went to. This congregation had their building fall down on them.
And so they had to tear it apart and move it aside. And they worshipped under the banana trees for a while until they could get enough to buy some rocks and cement, blocks of cement. And they got a wall about 3.5 feet tall. And they, and then they put posts up and put a tarp over it in which to keep the sun off and keep the rain off. Banana trees work okay if you're just in sun. But when the monsoon season hits, it's a very difficult time. This is the group that I was with that day. A lot of kids there. There were some adults, but this was a work day. And they took off of work in order to be there. I hope you're able to see the pictures okay. Again, once they knew I had candy, they were there and ready for the pictures, and off they went once they got the candy. This is the young man that last year he asked me for some help. He's an orphan, lives with his grandmother. And I had just a little bit of U.S. currency in my pocket, and I gave it to him. And I didn't realize that that's worthless in Uganda. Unless it's a $100 bill, a bank won't touch it. They won't convert it. And so I don't know what happened with the currency I gave him. But this year he gave me a letter, a very polite written letter that said, I'm asking if you can help me get a bicycle, get me into school, get me a uniform for school, and get me some pens and papers so that I may go back and be a part of my school. And as I added up the cost, I figured $80 U.S. to do it all. And I said, we'll get you taken care of. Monday, I head out to send that to the preacher. And then I send Jeremiah the key code, so he calls the preacher and lets him know. And the preacher's going to take the funds and help him buy the stuff, but then he's going to be studying with the grandmother as an outreach tool. We're not trying to buy salvation, but this young man was here last year, and he has been faithful in attendance, and yet he had a need. This is the congregation that he worships with. A very simple, they began 2 years ago as a Pentecostal group that were converted to Christ. The preacher was converted, and then they invited the preacher that had taught him to come speak to the congregation, and the congregation entirely obeyed the gospel of Christ. We pay their rent every year for them to have this building behind there, and we pay every time we have a meeting for the tent and so forth. This is a family on the mountaintop, the director and his wife and brother, and some of the kids there. And I've learned my lesson in this picture. You might notice I don't look fat in this picture. You stand behind them and you look better. But they had hosted me on the mountaintop, and there was lots of worry. The school that I go to, if you remember the clip where the little kids were welcoming me and coming up to me last year, well, they did one better this year. They waited down the road till they could see the car and then had a parade for me, welcomed me and carried me all the way through town and by the other school, kind of like saying, our missionary's here, and then came up. And that was the group that last year, a group of Canadians had gone and taught them how to play kickball with ball. And when they left, they took the ball with them. It was their ball. It wasn't the kids' ball. And I said, that's tragic. That's like telling someone, here's some candy, and then leaving with it. So I said, how much are balls? They told me. I said, here's money for 3 balls. So this time they wanted to show me what they were doing with the balls as well. And so they had the girls do volleyball with balls, and then the boys did kickball or soccer, as we would know it. And at 60 years old, I had the harebrained thought of getting out and working with the goalie, because one goalie was about half the size of the other goalie, so I just didn't think that was right. So I went out there, and the crowd seemed to like it when I fell a few times. And then I kicked the ball, and it missed a young man's head by about that much. I thought, oh no, that would not be good to smack him in the head with the ball. So I let the little kid kick him from then on. That way it would be his fault. We also got to speak to the parents about Christ. This is the community that we're working on starting a congregation of the Lord's Church. Now, this is the parade. When I recognized it was them, I joined in. They're turning around. They had a young man in the front with what we'd call a baton, but it was a spear. And then they had a couple of kids playing some drums. It was their school day, not worship. And then the kids had their leaves shaking them, and then the kids were just shaking their bodies as they were singing their song, Walking Me Down the Road. This is the parents that were there. They were in that room for a parents' meeting, and then they came out to under the trees for me to teach them about the gospel of Christ. We also had an Anglican preacher that was there, and he showed up the next morning at the house for a Bible study about that. And he is not ready to obey because he has to lose his livelihood for him to obey the gospel, because he gets paid by the Anglican Church. But I asked him, I said, what profits a man if they gain the whole world and lose your soul? And he said, that's why I'm still willing to study the Bible. They are sincere and interested in the Word of God. Sometimes there are some problems. Now this picture, you might not be able to see it, but in right here, do y'all see the different colors that are up there? That's two, three little Uganda kids sitting on top of the hill watching the Mzungu, because they weren't sure what a Mzungu was doing in their neighborhood. They never came down. They stayed right there behind the bushes. Here we came to, the next day, we came to the widow's, and we had bought a large bag of flour, of rice, that's it in the white bag there, and then a bag of sugar, and that's the treasure of the widows that we had to hunt down. They failed to tell them we were coming, so they hunted her down, and then her son came and put it on his motorcycle. That yellow bag behind is the bag of sugar. But while we were waiting, we got acquainted with the kids, and they enjoyed candy. Everywhere I go when there are kids, I always give them candy. And you're thinking there's only five or six kids, but then all of a sudden, some way there's 100 to 200 kids that come out of the bushes somewhere. And there they wanted a picture taken. Jeremiah is the one on the left. He is a gospel preacher there. This is Essengera. Now, Essengera is a congregation where little Winnie goes to. They have a problem. Good problem. They have 197 kids and 98 adults, but their building holds about 150. And you'll see the building in just a minute. So what we've been doing is building this new building. It'll hold about 600 the way Ugandans pack themselves in. So it's not... it's not huge, huge, but it's long. And Ugandans don't sit in benches like this. They have just a board on top of some boards, and they'll get there, and someone else comes, and they get slide over, and they slide over and slide over. Be watching. We had our singing, first annual singing there in Uganda. And you'll see a pickup the way the Ugandans travel. In the back of this small pickup, in the bed of this small pickup, is between 32 and 34 Ugandans. In the cab is four Ugandans plus the driver. That's how they travel. A 15-passenger van to us is not fully loaded until you have at least 30 to 32 people packed in the van. But this, two elders and the two deacons, that's their original building. Mud and bamboo, that's where I first started teaching class. But they've outgrown it, drastically outgrown it. So we've got them now to the, when I was there, they lacked a little bit finishing the ring beam all the way across, brick line all the way across. Now we're raising out funds for being able to put the roof structure and the doors and windows on it so they can begin using that. They are going to still use this building as a classroom. This is the inside of that building. These are what they could pack in, and there were others that were standing out at the doors and windows. That's little Winnie at age six. She made the beeline right up to me and sat down right beside me. And the first thing she did was look at the kids that were sitting next to me. She didn't say a word, and they just moved over. She has a way with the kids there. There you go. Now, in America, you get tickets for that. But that's the way Ugandans travel. We had the first annual singing there, and we had over 200 come. Now, the problem was we were having to pay for their transportation. And so this year what we're doing is we're arranging it and letting them know, and they're going to save up to get them there, and then we're going to help them get them back. So it costs them some there. But they're saying that next year count on about 400. We produce a songbook. Every year we'll be producing a songbook. The song leader chose not to lead a song in the songbook. Some men asked me why we didn't print it. And I said, "Do you know their language?" And I said, "I don't. I can't write it down." And so we have it in their language printed out. So when it's over, they take the songbooks with them. So it gets songbooks back into the congregations of the Lord's body there. That's the songbook. This is their singing at that gathering. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? They love the songs that we have. And they sing beautifully. What that singing did, we had some aunties come into Uganda and teach. And we had us in there teaching. And there was a rift that had taken place. And a brother, friend of mine that belongs to the auntie but is not as auntie. It's the only way I know to say it. He said it's ridiculous to talk to them about eating in the building when they don't have kitchens. It's ridiculous when they don't have children's homes. They don't have the issues we're doing. So he went first and was beginning to talk to them about unity. And then we had this singing and we invited all the congregations. And the congregations from both sides came together. And then I spoke on unity in the church. That also had the benefit of people in Kasese that didn't know about the Church of Christ heard the singing and came into the hotel and into the singing to hear the singing and the message that was presented. The hotel staff got to hear the message that was presented. And when it was over, the church was united. Preachers were in total fellowship one with another. Congregations that had been at odds were seeing their preachers hugging each other, praying with each other, being one as the body should be. I came out of there just worn out, and I sat at the front of the building on a concrete ledge. I was exhausted, and all of a sudden I saw these Ugandans starting to come sit by me and get people to take pictures of me with them sitting by me. Over and over and over, I almost wanted to maybe next year bring a cardboard figure of me. I could just stand up and they can get their pictures. But they were joyful because they saw the church in the oneness that they had not experienced in a long time. This was as they were leaving. A pickup would show up, a van would show up, they'd pile in and take off. The hotel owner said, "You can use this facility at no cost. But we'd like to have watermelon and cucumbers there, and we'll just bill you what our expense is at that point. We're not making a profit on the church there." And so we did, and then the school of preaching had a congregation make the rice and beans and bring them because they said Ugandans needed more nutrients than just the watermelon and pineapple. It was a great day. This is a group of kids that last year we bought uniforms for the orphans that needed uniforms to go to school. And this year we bought 284 pairs of shoes. When Eno sent me that picture, I sent him a reply back, "Tell the kids they go on their feet."
They know my humor. They recognize it.
Could you imagine going shoe shopping and that's what you start out with? Trying to find which shoe goes on which foot out of the pairs there? I was glad I wasn't there when they were sifting them out like that. We bought an extra acre of land because they had run out of room. They had paid part of it, and they were 800 shy paying the whole thing. So I sent 400 ahead, and I said the rest will be there when I get there. And as time went on the trip, I decided it was better to send the money ahead of time. There was a lot of worry that I could be robbed, and so I sent the money for the projects ahead of time and put a piece of paper in my pocket that said, "Ha ha, you just thought you were going to get money." So that if the Ugandan robbed me, beat me and robbed me, all they'd get is that paper. Now, you're talking about a bridge that requires faith. Our car had to travel that bridge before we could get to those orphans. And to be honest, I didn't have faith in that bridge. I got out, I walked across the bridge, and I waited for them to come. I let them go across the bridge, then I walked across it. But when we came back out, I rode in the car going back out over the bridge. I saw that it did support. Even though you'd think it wouldn't, it did. There the orphans are, and you'll see we've got right now 98 more adult orphans that are needing uniforms. Got tailors in that community. We know what we can get the uniforms for. I'm going to hold them to the price they gave before, $4.20 a uniform. They're very attentive. This is their favorite song, Building Up the Kingdom. Do you remember that song from last time, where you're building up the kingdom? That's the other part of the land we bought. These are the kids. There Winnie is with her sister at the office. And they just learned the news that we paid their school debt. And there the kids are at the school that she invited me to. 300. Actually a little over, because one bag of Jolly Ranchers has 363 pieces of candy in there. And we had about 30 pieces left. So... But it's amazing how they will line up by age and then get their candy. The young man on the right as you're looking, that is Brother Hankson. He was the young man. Do you remember when I told you about the Muslim that I'd given a goat to? And when he got married, I gave two more goats. And he I have nicknamed Andrew, because they told me at church every time he comes, he always brings a friend. And I said, "You're Andrew." Just like in the apostles, where Andrew went and got and brought him to Jesus. And so this young man is now bringing people with him to Christ. His parents were in a Bible study with us. This is his family. They are Muslim, but they are interested in Bible study, and there is continued study that is happening. This is the preacher and his wife and Precious Yah. She is the orphan in Ghana that we came to work with. There were six kids originally. There was one that came by her because of molestation. There was a sister's, when she died, left a boy. There was an aunt and uncle that had brought them over because their mother and father were killed leaving Liberia. And when they died, she had their two boys. And then there was a lady in the Liberian camp that the two girls had come to eat with them, and when they went home, they were told by the man, "Their mother is dead, they're not mine, take them." And so when Ghana learned that they were there, but they weren't hers, the Ghanaian government stepped in and took those two kids, because they weren't biologically theirs. They worry a lot about human trafficking in that area. And here is a group of preachers that have now come from five denominations, and they've obeyed the gospel of Christ. And they are now going to have our preachers go teach their congregations. And one group has 100 groups in South Sudan that they said, we want to send you over to teach them. So the word is starting to really grow. We restored a man named Yana. He obeyed the gospel back in 1969. And this is the congregation now that he works with. We were in an 8x10 room teaching the gospel to these people. You can't put all those people in an 8x10 room. Those same area the kids saw the hair on the arm. And they're curious about that. Yana had obeyed the gospel back then he fell away. And he was teaching denominations. And so when he obeyed the gospel, the first thing he said he must do is go out to these groups he had taught wrong and teach them right. And they're learning and they're obeying the gospel and they're starting to be a part of the Lord's body now. Amazing that what Lord works through, taking someone whose life had been in shatters and brings them back, and then starts, first thing they do in their charge is go correct the wrongs they had taught. Because they don't want those people lost either. There we are in that room. The kids were outside the door looking in. That's a little girl named Angel. She was the first one brave enough to come sit in my lap. But that took about 30 minutes before she was that brave. She started looking around the door. And then finally she would step in the door and then step back out. Because they had never seen white men over there in that area of Uganda. And there they are sitting in there in our lesson. The kids have now come in. They're sitting near the parents. At one point, I tried to get up. And when I started to get up, it was like a massive cattle rush out the door. The kids were leaving because they were afraid I was coming to get them. And there they are checking the hair on the arm. This is Yana. He is a blessing to the Lord's church now. He writes and speaks three African dialects that are spoken all over Africa. And in that area, that town, they have 80 tribes from Africa that are now in that area. So this year, between now and October, he's translating my material into three different languages so that we can turn around and hand out in their own language the one true church and the plan of salvation. So great work is happening, and he's showing that he is true. He's answering questions, and he's rebuilding his knowledge of the Bible. Now this is Saki, the one with the white shirt. That's his wife and his daughter and one of his sons. When we went to Ghana originally, I was going to go stay with the orphans. You all remember me telling you that? And my wife and I were talking, and she said, Paul, do you really think it's wise for you to go to a town you've never been in, loaded down with the 2 weeks of stuff for Uganda, and going to a house you've never been at, neighborhood you've never been at? So Brother Greg Grounds was coming with World Bible School, and he has a house. He said, you can stay at my house. So I left my luggage there and carried just enough to last me 3 days. And Saki and Brother Kofi and I went to meet Precious Yah and to go to the schools. They left me there for 3 days where I took taxis everywhere I went. And as we went through, we met and verified the kids were in school and so forth. We learned that they were no longer in the house we rented because the people that rented the house knew that American money was coming in. So they had increased the house from $300 every 6 months to $1,300. And she said, the church has been so good to me, I don't want to charge the church more like this. So she went and found another place that's $600 for a year. So it's a one bedroom, they have the living room, so she sleeps in the living room, the boys sleep in the one bedroom, and they seem very happy at that. These three girls were three of 43 baptisms we had this trip. Now in Ghana, we were driving through lots of water. And I said, when did it rain? I don't remember it raining. Then it dawned on me when I started smelling the smell. And it was the excrement of humans that were driving through. They have open sewage there. So I watched where I walked ever since then. The man in the plaid happens to be a tribal leader in Ghana. And that day, he was in the class I taught. He wasn't quite ready to obey the gospel yet, but he said he would be back for more. And as the preacher and I talked, he said he's the treasurer of the Assembly of God, and he's having them, because he's owned their money, he's having them move him off of that, so then he will be ready to obey the gospel and be a child of God here in this congregation. So he is growing in great efforts there. The kids wanted to do a program for us that Sunday after church, so they did. Precious got her a Bible, a red-lettered Bible, and you can see how happy she was. That was her one request. Brother Hankson, that I call Andrew, his wife, who's still Muslim, asked for a Bible. We brought a Bible. We brought 10 other Bibles that we left in the Muslim communities and gave to a couple of others that we were studying with, that Jeremiah was following up with them. Went to Liberty College, and here Precious is with the four boys, and that was taken at their school. This is their preacher. They all like to have their picture taken with me. I've never thought I was photogenic, but they like to have their picture taken. This man said, at first told me, I've never seen them at church. And then I found out that the church he preaches for has around 400 people. And to try and find 5 people out of 400 that you've never met anyway, that could be a problem. That's their congregation. Congregation helped them build the building. They got the chairs. They have a balcony area there. And people pack in. And that is her proof of the increase in rent fee. She kept telling me she had paperwork to prove her story. In Ghana, they call Liberians inmates because they can't work. All they're doing is housing them and feed them once a day, maybe. And so when we moved them into a house, they got to be, instead of them sleeping in with 13 people in one room, they got to have the four boys and her in 2 rooms. When we started feeding them, they got to have multiple food, not just there, but at school when they eat. They bring packets from home to eat food in. So they got to have a chance to redo in life. And the boys tended to take a liking to me. I guess I may be comfortable, more comfortable than the sofa was. And there we are in front of the Church of Christ there. This is the Muslim church building. Church of Christ in a Muslim area. Let me rephrase that. This is where last year in October I told you about the Muslim that his father, the first convert in 2014, we went to see his family and his father gave us live chicken. This is where the father was, and he said that he has seen the work of the church and the church does good work, and he would give us some land to build a building. So this is a panoramic view of that. It's not fancy. It holds 40 to 50 people right now. The Muslims sent the health department out and said, you can't have church here. You have no bathroom. So we had to pay a person to dig a big hole and build an outhouse there. And they apologized when I got there. They said, we're sorry it was so expensive, but the person digging the hole charges by the weight of the rocks they had to move out of the hole. And there were some big rocks. That's the inside. And the door is off-center because of a rock. And ladies, this is a Uganda washing machine. It's called a river. And the clothes and the women are washing them in the river and then lay them out on the rocks to dry. And if you notice, they have scriptures alongside so people can study them if no one's there. It's Kyla Church of Christ. And Jeremiah is standing, and this is the rock he told me caused him to have to move the door because they couldn't quite get that rock moved. Now, that's about a 4-foot by 5-foot rock above the ground. I said, oh, Jeremiah, such an excuse. You couldn't break it into pieces? He said, no, we tried. There's the outhouse. They are official. And that's one of their tools, just a hand hoe that the handle had broken off. The man back behind Slide is the one in the black and yellow. His father is the one in the blue right behind him. And he's the one that gave us the land. His wife is there as well. Jeremiah, I was preaching, he is translating, and then Jeremiah spoke, and then Yana spoke. And there's Slight's wife and child, and the member in the white, and Jeremiah is standing there with a suit coat on. And here we are, his father is the one in the blue shirt. When he saw me, he came up running with a smile on his face and gave me a big hug. He remembered me from last year. We had about between 40 and 50 there for that day's meeting. And only 12 or 13 were Christians. The rest of them were Muslims. Coming to hear the gospel of Christ. This little child was scared to death, but then Candy came in, and now the child was my friend. That's the road up into the mountain that we traveled. And this was another orphanage we stopped in and dealt with them. Again, they were lined up to get the candy. And these kids were the ones at the school right by the Muslim church. They were there, had not seen, they were scared of white people. But eventually they kind of warmed up a little bit to me. They wouldn't shake hands. I kept telling them, I'm supposed to be lucky to shake hands with. The older group was happy to see me. This is Liberty College. Liberty College, I spoke to them about the one true church. And I said, I want to challenge you. That one day there was a time where the world was told that the world was flat. But later they found it was not flat. And I've challenged them to go research the religion they're in and see when it started and who started it. There the director is, Daniel. This was a Polish young man that was there that day. He came in to do some intern work, and afterwards we had a study about the church. He knows English, and he took one of the sheets to do some study. And I have referred him to a congregation near him in Poland. Overall, the trip wore me out. I had no free time, except for when I was on a plane. But I count it all worthy. God moved mountains where we didn't know they could. If you can imagine a Muslim giving the church land for free to build a church building on, to be willing to allow the church to reach out in a Muslim community when they wouldn't rent to a Salat because he wasn't Muslim anymore. They wouldn't sell land to him. The church could not have started except that here this Muslim saw the Church of Christ and the works we do and says the Church of Christ is good. I've seen their works. The night before I left to go to the Muslim area, I had a man came in. They were having the coronation of the king of that area. And he walked in and he was in a suit with a gold medal on him. And I was sitting in the lobby with two of the preachers talking. And he looked over at me and said, "You're Paul Kaufman, aren't you?" I had never seen him a day in my life. And I said, "Yes, sir, I am. Can I help you?" He said, "Well, I'm the Prime Minister of Uganda. I would like to talk to you." And I stood up when I heard Prime Minister of Uganda. And he said, "My house is not far from here, and we're having the coronation. But I have been listening and I've been seeing the good works of the Church of Christ in Uganda. And I want to talk more with you." When he left, he greeted me and shook hands and he said, "We will talk again." And he left. And the preachers looked at me and said, "Paul, you know what that means?" I said, "He knew me." They said, no, it's more than that. It means that people in the capital of Uganda know you. It means the king in this district knows you. And next time you need to book some time because you're going into the king's palace. And you're probably going to get a message to go in to see the president of Uganda. Doors that we could not open, but God can. feeding the hungry, giving water to the thirsty, visiting the sick, helping a mother of five kids that the father just abandoned them and she didn't know what to do, but she was a member of the Bride of Christ and we picked up on their education. This little child that just knew happiness and the love of Christ. Always opening doors for me, not telling me one time that she was in danger of losing her education. But I would not have that happen. Galatians says that if you know that we are to go into do good to all mankind, especially those of the household of the faith. Then he says that another passage in the New Testament says, if you know to do good and you do not, to you it is what? Sin. So I had no choice on a lot of these things. I knew what the right thing was. But by doing good, it opened the door for land for a Muslim area to give, a Muslim to give us to begin a congregation there. By doing good, it's now open to Prime Minister of Uganda to come and meet me face to face. And I'll tell you, I was the only white person in that lobby, but there were other white people at that hotel. But he knew who I was. He knew my name. Brethren, the work of the Lord is doing great. The orphans in Ghana, if you can take, and I'm out of time, but I'll take one more minute. If you can picture, they went into the refugee camp, which was better than where they were. But that refugee camp was full of prostitution and drunkards. And where the kids play, they were doing ungodly acts. That was their livelihood. That was where they were being housed as inmates, as the Ghanans would say. That was their life. And yet they found a missionary working with orphans over Facebook in Uganda, not knowing anything about the church, to reach out and ask a simple question, can you help? The elders at DCAB that oversee my mission work said, we need to have boots on the ground. You need to be there this trip to make sure everything's proper. And so we ended up putting it in the schedule. The kids had been out of school for 3 years, and now they're back in school. They have beds you all provided. And they have food multiple times a day. And they go to church. Precious Yaw is now Sister Precious Yaw. And she's obeyed the gospel. There's been a lot of good work going on. And it's people that hear the gospel and respond. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. That chorus, this is my story. This is my song. Praising the Savior all the day long. Our God sent His Son to redeem mankind, to seek and save the lost. And the Ugandans learned this trip why I spend time with non-Christians and not just with Christians. I said, that's what Jesus did and that's what I will do. And congregations are starting to blend that were once separated, but now they're one. Congregations are getting buildings built. Not some of them are not the fanciest buildings, but they're buildings for them to sit and worship God even when the monsoons hit. Try sitting under a banana tree in a monsoon. You'll see the problem. But little Wynn, before I left, she said, the Lord lets me. I will see you next year. She's learning English. She's also learning that the Lord is in control. If the Lord allows, I'll be going back in October. We've got so much work ahead of us in between. We're reaching out. And I hope that the pictures and the presentation tonight has given you that your missionary dollars that you've helped us with have gone well spent. I've asked them next time, let me have one day off. One day. Because at 60 years of age, and after I played soccer with those kids, my muscles hurt. It may have been the falls I had, I don't know. But I needed some time that I didn't have because they were scheduling 3 things per day. 3 stops, 3 different areas. But the joy of 43 baptisms, the joy of a restoration from the first person baptized in that Uganda district back in 1969, Brother Lynn Anderson was teaching back then. For him to be restored and to have all these leads where he has taught them wrong, but he is respected by them. So now we're going in teaching them right. 9 preachers, 5 denominations. 9 preachers said we must do it God's way. We will be baptized. And we want you preachers to come to our congregations and teach them the truth. That just came in today on my Facebook from Imbusa. The work is still going. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for allowing me to be a servant of the Lord's and helping in this endeavor. The plan of salvation is the same plan that's over there, is that we hear the Word of God, we believe. That we confess Christ before man, and Christ says He will confess us before the Father above. That we repent of our sins, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And yes, that we are baptized into Christ and raised and walk a new life, letting Christ control our lives. We are no longer our own, but we are bought with the blood of the Lamb. The invitation is yours today. If you have need to respond, ask that you do so as we stand, as we sing.